We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We can fix what we're doing. It doesn't happen overnight. Offenses don't get fixed overnight. Sometimes they don't get fixed throughout the course of years. You've seen it in the NFL. There's been teams that have been bad offensively for a very long time. We're not one of those teams. We're a team that's young. Offensively, we're growing. We're getting to know each other. We're figuring out who we are, and we're doing it at the right time. And as a team, we're winning these games. And I think that's what's important. Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know you're all going to ask those questions. We know that.
The Danny Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
With my guy Mark Carmen in. They're surprising me throughout the day with embarrassing things on my birthday. It's been a lot of fun. One of my oldest and best friends in the world, Ben Heisler, my mom, my wife have all been on today's show. Carm has done 5 of his top 10 reasons to celebrate me today, which I mean 10. I mean, you could have gone a little deeper than 10 if we're being totally honest. But Nick Foles, my friend, I feel like he won over some people with that post-game speech. You can see the intangible with him, right? Like very easily. You get why the guy has a swagger and a confidence. Boomer Esiason on the show says it's a Super Bowl MVP. Like when you beat Brady and Belichick in a Super Bowl and win a Super Bowl MVP, of course you believe that you can be a franchise guy and a leader and you should be the dude. So that's why he goes back at Matt Nagy, right, in his first start. Whenever it was Nagy and Trubisky on the sideline, it was always Nagy talking to Trubisky. It was not a lot of Mitch verbalizing what he was seeing back to Matt Nagy. This was a complete role reversal. And then within 3 games, he's given like Disney movie rah-rah Remember the Titans style speeches after the game. And again, I'm not falling for the jig. Like he's not that good. I'm not sitting here telling you that Nick Foles is great or anything like that, but it's like power by an easy compare, right? Compared to Chase Daniel, compared to Mitch Trubisky, compared to what you have, you're like, you know what? I get it. I see why they like this guy, and I feel like that's what's going on right now with the Bears and Nick Foles.
Very fun football opinion, Danny, but I think you'd much rather talk to your brother Brad.
Oh, man, of course I would. That was a great take, but what's up, Brad?
That was a really good take, but what's happening, man? Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. It was kind of fun listening in and then hearing your mom calling and talking about, you know, being in control. And there's obviously a little bit of control issues going on. We all got it. So that's pretty good. And then I heard you saying that you did some brain damage, and I'm like, that's, you're stealing my thunder on that stuff. So come on, man, that's my stuff. But I wanted to thank you publicly because you gave me a lot of street cred when you went on the air and told my story. And when you mentioned I dominate graduations, my friends started calling me saying we need to be part of graduations and all that because they feel like they've missed out not having the siblings like I have with you and Megan and Amy. So this, thank you for the street cred. So I know it's your birthday, but I'm calling to say thank you for that.
Listen, I mean, I'm impressed that I got you. That was my birthday, got you on the air, man. I've wanted people to hear your positivity and wit and humor. I steal everything from you. So that's very kind. And yeah, The way that I've damaged my brain is through, you know, recreational choices. You, my friend, you just always like to upgrade. You know what I mean? You just do it big. Like you heart attack in your 40s.
You have to go big.
Yeah. But
yeah, you
got to
go big with these sort of things.
Yeah, brain cancer, 50. And then I got to say, if people are like, how's your brother doing? I say, well, one of the first times, I think the first time I talked to you, maybe it was the second after what happened, you said, I think I'm going to just take up smoking so that I can damage my lungs to go for the trifecta of heart, brain, and lungs. And
yeah. I'm like, I mean, they do come in threes. Got to do it in threes. But so far, no smoking. But that's good. But I do need, you know, for everyone here, I need you to know that now, obviously, you're a proud father, and you have great influence on people in our family. So I wanted to share a couple quick stories if there's a minute or two, like, and you've been able to influence my daughter, Katie. So obviously for everyone, she's about to be 17 and she's passionate about debate and politics. So her and Danny have these goods, really good. Like you can see that Danny has done some good in the world. And then there's what he's done with my son, Jack. And Jack's going to be 15 tomorrow. So you guys pretty much share a birthday, as you know. And Danny has instilled a passion for sports. So that's cool. With the passion for the sports gambling. So thank you. Thank you for that, because I get to cover those wagers. So I think I just heard something about FanDuel, so I might have to look into that. But that's, I wanted to say thank you for that. And I can maybe pause there, but I also wanted to say you're welcome, because I feel I've given you over the years enough insight so you have the appropriate dislike for Coach Mike McCarthy. And so I feel that's my gift to you.
Yeah, so wow, there's a lot there. Yeah, so Brad is from Wisconsin and a diehard Packer fan, so you know that's his one flaw. But yeah, Mike McCarthy, my God, man. Ever since that NFC Championship game against Seattle, kicking the short field goals with Aaron Rodgers, I knew that dude was clueless. But you were on that bandwagon way before I was. And the truth is that you and your lovely wife, Jen, are just so tolerant of me, because I've clearly corrupted your only son, Jack. And it was when, it was like five Thanksgivings ago when I taught him about daily fantasy and had him start setting those lineups. And he's been gambling ever since. And he was like 16-8 against the spread in the NBA bubble. Brad, I haven't told you this. I legitimately owe your son hundreds of dollars.
That's good. We will take it.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because, yeah, he was just killing it. And I haven't had cash on me, so I haven't settled up with him yet. But he was just giving me picks. And he never asked how much I was gambling on the games. But so, yeah, I owe your son quite a bit of money. And I love that, like, he's running pools for his friends now and all of that. And so, like, I take that as my influence on my nephew, Jack.
It's a really good influence you have there. And speaking of good influences you've had, obviously, Stephanie has helped you too, because, like, you know, you growing up when we went to Vegas when you were 21, you didn't really have fashion. You rolled through Vegas with two different dress shoes. Not good. Not good. Now Stephanie's got you looking good, except you kind of look like Justin Bieber, which is good. It's a good look.
Got my hair cut the other day. Thank you. Yeah, I got the shag look taken away. Yeah, Brad took me to Vegas for my 21st birthday. Only showed up with a left dress shoe. Couldn't get into any of the nightclubs. So we just had to go to, you know, gentlemen's clubs. It was unfortunate, but we had to do it.
They let everybody in.
they really, really do. When am I seeing you next? I mean, we watched a debate together. There's no debate to watch tonight. We'll have to hang out, and I can school your daughter and keep telling her to, you know, go the right direction politically.
We most certainly will be going that right direction. But we'll get together soon. But man, we love you tons over here. Everyone sends happy birthday wishes to you, and we hope you have a fantastic night. And it's great to be part of this show, but maybe I can come back during Packer Bear Week and we can dissect if the Khalil Mack trade actually is going to pay off for the Bears ever.
Dude, you have an open invitation to come on the show. You know, I've had multiple, like, literally, you know, dozens of people reach out and talk about, like, being able to, like, share your story, and it's inspiring, and you're the families are all rallying around you. Everyone's rallying around you, but like you just make it so easy, man. So you're the absolute best. I've looked up to you ever since I knew you, which has been literally my entire life. I'm now rambling and not making any sense, but I love you, man. And Bear Packer Week or anytime you want, it's an open invitation to come on the show, all right?
We love you too. Happy birthday, Danny.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. That's my big brother, Brad, on my birthday. Oh, man. That one got me, Carm.
I knew it would. That was beautiful. That's awesome.
He's legitimately the best person I've ever met. Like people say that and it's cliche or whatever. He's like that infuriating level of nice. Like people are like, oh, Parkins, how no wonder you don't have too many friends. Like, yeah, you're right. It's not that big of a wonder. He's like everyone's favorite colleague, everyone's favorite friend. Like, my little sisters would tell you he's their favorite brother. Like, you know what I mean? He's the favorite sibling. There's no one doesn't like that guy. He got all the likable genes. And then I got whatever the hell I have. I don't know what it is, but he is truly the best.
You're still a beloved figure, Parko. I mean, not on a Brad level, clearly. But, you know, on some level, I mean, look at the text line. Somebody's saying something nice, right?
I don't know.
No?
Let me see. I don't know.
Shane?
Yeah. There's a few people on Twitch in the text line that are saying some
there
nice
things.
There you
go. There you go.
Yeah.
There you
but
go. No, when you first talked best, about man. Brad on the air, just for the record, it was powerful stuff, man. And, you know, we're all obviously rooting for your brother and family and all of it. So I knew that one would get you today. So
thank you. Well, you know, it's funny because we've talked, you know, all the time, but yeah, we're like, do you want to come on? Like, do you want to talk about what's, you know, and he's like, yes, no, yes, you know, but, and I get it totally, but he's just been inundated with so many people reaching out to him, right? Because he's the most popular person that I know. And so it's, he's the absolute best. And so that was very cool that he was willing to call in on my birthday. And I appreciate you guys doing that. He is the goods, man. I've looked up to him my entire life. And to the texter who says, can we have Brad host the show instead of you? Yeah. I swear to God, on my bachelor party, Brad comes to my bachelor party and he knows my friends, right? But he's 50, I'm 34. So like we didn't grow up together. Like, he was always around on holidays and special occasions and, you know, living in different places or whatever. And so he hadn't like partied with all of my friends a bunch. And it was an aggressive trip, right? And he's much older than everybody there and kids and responsible and the whole thing. And by the end of night one, multiple lifelong friends, I mean, people I've known since third, fourth grade, people in my inner circle, I'm like, man, we got the wrong Parkins. Can we trade? Can we get? And of course, Shep is nodding. Shep feels that way every day. Every Parkins that Shep has met, other than me, he likes more than me. But I mean, I'm talking like 8 hours into my bachelor party, he had turned my group of friends from, oh, Parkins' older brother is going to be here, to, man, we got screwed the last 20 years with this Parkins. So yeah, he's a very likable dude. Sorry, Shep, you're stuck working with me. You can't produce his show.
That's all right. I mean, it is just amazing though. It's like it's like a Cal Ripken streak. Each Parkins family member that I meet, it's like I like them more and more and more. It's like meet Steph. I was like, what is she thinking? Why is she? What is she doing with Danny? Come on, Steph. What are you possibly doing? And I have the fortune of talking to Danny's mom, meeting her, and it's like, this woman is glorious. Like, what the heck did you birth? What did you raise in this young man? And then meet Danny's dad. And like, wow, this guy's the goods. This guy is nice as all get up. Like, that didn't carry down to Danny. What the heck is going on there? And then you meet, I talk to Brad over the phone and talk to him. It's like, this guy is funny. He knows things about sports. He doesn't lead me bad paths and betting angles and whatnot. Like, this guy's great. It's like a perfect record against you, Danny. I'm sorry, but happy birthday nonetheless.
Yeah, I appreciate you. I'm feeling the love. And when we were at Max's house at the pool party, Shep saw my kid and he said, wow, he looks just like you, except I don't want to punch you. Like, so there we go. There's the younger generation that he likes more than me. And I get it. I get it.
Just
but
something
I like
about your face. It's just like stepbrothers. It's nothing about you. It's just your face. And Owen has a similar face, but it's cute. And for you, I don't know if it's just the hairdo or what, but the cute factor doesn't transfer over.
I guess. I get it, man. I get it. But no, it's I like to think that I grow on people like a fungus. That's what I like to think. That if you just, and who knows, maybe I won't be around here much longer. Deal's up soon. So all you people saying when you tune in and you hear me, that you want to vomit and you want me gone, you might get your wish. Or I might be here for the next 20 years. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. But yeah, that is, it's true. It's true. I should ask Brad the key to likability, because he seems to have mastered it. But that was fun. Thank you, guys. I don't even know. Was I talking about sports? Was I making a point?
You actually had a great Nick Foles take and how he's won over the Bear fandom with his latest press conference, which I thought was really solid, Parco. And I put too much value in press conferences and what people say, but he definitely won me over with it. I'm like, this is great. Mitchell Trubisky hasn't said anything like this in 4 years. I am so in for what Nick Foles is bringing to the table.
Yeah, you know, and listen, I'm not going to pretend like he's won over all of Bears fans, because I always say you judge the actions over the words, and what matters is how he plays on Sunday, how he plays on Monday night. You're as good as your last performance, but he's there's just an it factor that's different.
He gets picked off. He throws a terrible pass. They don't pick up at first, and he walks off the field. He acts like he's been there, done that, doesn't faze him one bit. Like,
yeah.
I like that.
Of course, it's the it factor. That's what it is. It's that thing. It's that unquantifiable thing. But anyone who's ever met any quarterback who was good, it doesn't even matter the level. Like, if their athletic prowess stopped and they could only be the quarterback in high school, right? But like, it's why the quarterback in high school dated the prom queen and was popular. Like, yes, part of it is just playing football, but there's a certain swagger that comes with that position. And Mitch, by the way, the players will say that he had it, right? And I bet you he did have it in high school, and I bet you he did have it in college, and I bet at times he had it in the NFL. But there's just that different thing that quarterbacks have that Nick Foles absolutely possesses.
Trubisky's first preseason game was incredible. He had it. And then after that, it ended. But
that's right. That's right. So on the other side, I want you to hear Foles from today, and he speaks about the offense and where they can actually go. Like, what's actually attainable for this team, as I stop blabbering around because my brother called in. My big brother, Brad, made his Danny Parkin Show debut. Very much appreciate that on my birthday. Thank you, everybody, to setting that up. And Dave Wanstead at 5 o'clock on the score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's happened a few times, and I'm sure that someday Tom and I will have a great conversation about it and probably just laugh at it. There's obviously history there from a big game we both played in once. And then the other, day, on Thursday night, but, it is what it is. And I think he's a tremendous player. And I just, someday we'll have a good conversation. I know, thinking back to the golf match, I think, Peyton was getting under his skin, and when he brought my name up, it got to him. So I don't know why that is. We've never had that conversation, but I think he's a great player and obviously one of the greatest of all time.
Nick Foles talking about Tom Brady not shaking his hand after the game. My guess is you had a huge problem with that, right, Carm?
No, Danny, I didn't. It's a pandemic. I appreciate that Tom was a little upset, perhaps, that he had a faux pas. I'm okay with that one, actually.
Oh, all right. That's good.
Hey,
that's
Danny. Do you remember when you came here in early 2017 to a co-host that absolutely hated you? Your chemistry to begin was horrible. You had two producers who didn't like you either, and everybody was just under the impression that you were getting everybody fired.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Matt Spiegel, Jay Zawoski, and Rick Camp.
I always sort of hated him, for the record. Yeah,
thanks,
Jay. I didn't fully hate him. I mean, I didn't want him around, but I didn't hate him. Is that the same thing?
Who hated him the least draft?
I feel like, though, we were the first group, me, Zawoski, and Camp were the first group to really dislike him and then learn to dislike him a little less. You know, we were the first people to go through that process that I think most of Chicagoland has gone through. I mean, most, not everybody. Some people are still a little bit earlier in the process.
By the way, did this get cleared? Remember what happened the last time the four of us had a conversation together?
The show got canned, right?
Oh,
we had dinner. I brought every kind of M&M imaginable, Carm, and put them all in a bowl. And we didn't put any Skittles in, but still, it was a crazy dessert. And then the show got canceled.
It was nice of Danny to host us all before he fired us all.
I hate you, Jay. I'll throw it as an early listener to those first shows. It was shockingly bad. And
thank you.
Oh yeah, man. He was trying real hard, understandably so. And I was defending some turf, real or imagined. I mean, it was horrific. We wanted no part of each other. There were two shows going on most of the time.
One always involved T.O. not being in the Hall of Fame.
was that riveting. The early Parkins take that he just kept trying to drive?
Yes, and then I think maybe one of my favorite things is for literally what the entire show, except for maybe the last month, we heard the, you know, I'm going to have this take that, you know, break in, you know, just break the glass when needed.
Oh yeah,
and it's like Derrick Rose should have his number retired, and he's hoping that at least one of us will just go off on him about it, and all of us are like, yeah, okay, sure,
yeah, that's reasonable. That's fine. That's reasonable. Okay. All right.
And you could you could hear the deflation of, oh, this isn't a debate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was real disappointing. And you guys, one of you could have played radio with me. One of you guys could have.
I think you have probably learned in your 25 plus years at the score now, at least it seems like that we do not manufacture opinion. That's not how the score works, and that was an adjustment for you.
That was an adjustment for him, said Jay.
Oh, boy.
I just assumed that someone would disagree because I had listened to the score for years, and everyone crapped all over Derrick Rose, and then all of a sudden I had three people like, yeah, it's a great thought. But and then, and no one was willing to manufacture.
Well, yeah, you should have saved that for Bernstein.
I clearly should have. Someone said that in terms of.
Oh, is that happening now? I got another co-host now tomorrow? Is this what's happening? Now it's going to be Parkins and Bernstein, my 75th show in 5 years? Awesome. Let's do it.
Jay, when you hear the Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on the score as his executive producer, like, do you hear that as a threat? Because that's what I hear it as, to the audience.
It's more of a warning than a threat.
You have 1 minute to make a better decision.
You might want to hit up Spotify.
Yeah. That's why I banned them from this show. I'm like, I don't know that that's helping us. Like, I think you ought to just keep, like, oh, wait, it's not B&B anymore? Mac's not there? Shh. Like, don't tell Danny Parkins will be back in 60 seconds.
Terry's coming at any time.
Terry's
coming back. Keep listening.
One of the moments, Carm, that our show bonded, you guys reminded me of yesterday when Danny was boasting about his ability to hit 10 of 10 layups from half court with you chasing him at seemingly full speed, and there's no way in hell that's happening. It reminded me a lot, Jay Zawoski, of the night when Parkins saw the Miss Pac-Man machine when we were in Arizona and just blurted out, I will bet any amount of money that I am the greatest Miss Pac-Man player in this entire bar. Just immediately bet that.
What was amazing about that was his confidence, which is something we had been exposed to a lot. We know Danny is very self-confident. And jokes aside, that's what makes him good at his job.
Agreed.
But then Spiegel was like, no, you won't. And I was like, what? Like, we've got two guys flexing here on Miss Pac-Man. It's not like it was Madden or NBA 2K, something that people are still playing often. And then Spiegel whooped his ass.
I had a perfect it was first incredible. Board. First guy, like I think I went through three different acts, and I like collected extra guys, and I was at like 45,000 while Parkins just watched, and it was all live tweeted. Well done. I'm glad you live tweeted it, Danny. That worked out even better.
Oh, there's God, scene like, that was just biting off more than I could chew in such a big way. And but then because I can never just take a loss gracefully, I was like, honestly.
Because I said $500, and you were like, let's just do the bar tab. And the bar tab was like $160. So I was like, I just won $340.
That's how you got to look at it.
Yeah.
Spiegel was like the scene in Old School where Will Ferrell delivers a speech and then like snaps to when he's done. Like, what happened? He just blacked out for a moment and became superhuman. That's what happened to Spiegel with Ms. Pac-Man. That was amazing.
It truly was incredible.
Guys, remember People and Trips?
Like hanging out together, sitting near each other at a table and stuff. Yeah,
I remember that.
I actually don't remember Trips involving.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah.
Can't be one allowed.
Jay, when I've been doing these shows with Spiegel recently, I will say I've missed Spat Meagle. The I'm Fat podcast living on is maybe the greatest legacy of the Spiegel and Parkin show, other than the Mitch album. And I just bought my 0.0 sticker and magnet the other day. Like, a true piece of comedic genius. I love it so much. But I think often of, man, this conversation could really use some Spat Meagle.
You know what, babe? Spat Meagle lives within all of us. The vibes are constantly existing, flowing through the air. Avoiding the COVID speckles flying through the air. The vibes navigate the COVID, babe. It's tough. I can't just do it. I gotta be in, like, you know, I gotta be in character. I'm like, I'm a method actor. I'm like Christian Bale.
That was enough for my birthday. That right there.
Yeah. No, I gotta get in character.
Oh God.
I didn't realize I was that much of an a-hole. I didn't realize that. And then
me neither.
Find out.
Until my birthday. It took my birthday to realize that everybody thinks that I'm that big of an a-hole.
It's not a roast, but you don't expect us to, like, call and be nice.
No, definitely not. I prefer.
No one wants that.
No.
You're fine.
I'm so happy that there was at least one person out there who was outraged at the concept that Parkins could make 10 out of 10 layups. Spiegel, it was so
ridiculous.
Offensive.
I know the sound of Parkin's special brand of misguided confidence. I know it very well. It's hard to tell. It's hard to separate from his actual, genuine, well-guided confidence. But, you know, you work with him for a while, or you know him as you do, Carm. You know that stench when it comes out. So that's gonna be awkward and ugly and unfortunate for all concerned.
I mean, I really want it to happen at this point, but yes, I've seen
tomorrow morning. Right. I thought you said tomorrow morning.
I did. I'm worried.
I say a lot of things when I'm being confident. Speaks. I don't know. We haven't set up any actual plans. I just said it on the air. I was hoping people would forget, but then now you've remembered it. So now we got to do layups tomorrow morning.
No one forgets anything on the air. People remind me of stuff that we did. Like, oh, that sounds funny. I have no recollection of what you're talking about at all. But great. I'm glad we did that and made you laugh that one day.
It was,
but that show was fun, man. We had a lot of fun. And right when we hit our stride.
Yeah. I think that's the best way to deal with the radio show myself. I don't know about you, Carm. Your life and your history at stations that have been destroyed. Oh, same guy. but it's, you know, what you do. I think what you do, what's most advisable, is you let a show go through the rough patch and then really build some momentum. You wait until people actually like it and everybody's excited to come to work and it just flies by every day. And that's when you kill it. That's when you do it. That's the kind of thing that gets you another job as soon as one's available.
Yeah.
In my experience. It's not
a lineup change without crushing the staff and the audience at the same time.
Yeah. God, that was awkward and terrible. And
go Bears.
You mean that?
And
or
go
this?
Bears. You don't have your drop, Campy. That's right.
What was awkward and terrible? Yes, it is. Oh, that. Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that part of it was terrible. No, man, that show was incredible. You guys, and maybe you just had to welcome me because I was forced upon all of you. As Jay nods to the Twitch audience. Yes. We wanted a bad cola. But it was you guys welcomed me in at a time when I didn't really feel welcomed by anybody else at the station other than Bertie, who was super nice. It was just like you guys were great. You guys were my first home, and it was a struggle, but we built a team, and I'll always love all of you guys.
Here's the thing about you, Parkins, is that you have a lot of tools in the radio bag. You got a lot of tools. And I believe that I have a lot of tools in the radio bag. Like, you know, like you're saying, play radio. You can kind of adjust to your partner, as you have these past few weeks, as you will continue to do, apparently for another ungodly amount of weeks. You just adjust to people, and you make it work. And that's what it's about. That's the drug for me of doing radio, is like, as you know, is like finding that chemistry. All right, so you're that guy, so I can just sort of access this part of me. And we found it, and that was fun to find together. And I know, I treasured that experience for sure. And you're actually pretty good at your job, unfortunately. Aww, have to say.
Thanks, yeah. Beaks. You are as well. You are as well, Jay. You are as well, Campy. I miss you guys. Jay, how did it go with Stan Bowman? How'd it go?
I think it went pretty well. I think you know this. You were texting me before, which I appreciated, but you finish up an hour-long interview, and you're immediately like, I forgot to ask these 10 things. Mm. That's, like, my first response. But I'm talking to him like, wow, we got a whole hour. And then I look at the clock, and 45 minutes have gone by, and I'm like, crap, I'm tearing through my notes trying to find what to eliminate, what to keep asking. And I could have done 3 hours with the guy. He couldn't have been more gracious with his time. And at the end, paid us a super nice compliment and said that we were one of the favorite ones he did, and we were really, like, on point with our knowledge. And that was kind of nice to hear, because the imposter syndrome is real in moments like that. And to hear it from a guy who I wouldn't say it was contentious, but we were challenging him. And for him at the end to say, hey, I appreciated that, and it was really good, and you got a good grasp of what's actually going on, was nice to hear.
I'm genuinely proud of you for not having that, for overcoming whatever that fear is. And you've built like a mini podcast empire with the Hawks, and you know, Campy doing his basketball thing, and you guys with the I'm Fat podcast. I genuinely love to see it. You guys are the goods, and you guys made the Spiegel and Parkin show much better. It would not have been what it became without you guys. So I appreciate you I know you do.
Are you getting taken out back and shot at the end of this show? I mean, like, this is there's a lot of finality for somebody's birthday who's turning 30 four.
Dude, my God. My mom's been on the show. My wife's been on the show. Like, my oldest friend in the world called in and told an embarrassing athletic story. Then my brother called in for the first time he's been on the air, and he's with his cancer diagnosis. Like, it's been an emotional range of emotions today, okay? Like,
are you just trying to get
an hour and 20
for,
minutes
are
until
you trying
I can
to get audio for
spark
Sean
up
to pull?
A little something.
Are you trying to get audio for Sean to pull so that you can use it in contract negotiations? Is this the whole bit?
Yeah.
Everyone loves you. Oh, when's Owen calling in?
Evan, that's his mama.
That is the cutest baby in the world, by the way.
I loved our son so much until I told Spiegel his name.
Throw mama from the
Go
train.
Go Bears!
Yeah, Spiegel ruined my son's name for me. Which
He's a very handsome, charming kid, and I think he's also related to Danny somehow.
All right, as the producer in this segment, I'm seeing the break sign from Shane, so we got to wrap it up.
Yeah. Thank you guys for calling in on my birthday. This was fun. I love you. And yes, Jay, I hope to be able to see you in person again in like 2022.
All right. Birthday vibes, babe.
Birthday vibes, babe.
The
Thank
best,
you.
The best we got. Happy birthday, Danny.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, Danny.
Thank you. Thank you. Rick Camp, Jay Zawoski, and Matt Spiegel on my birthday. Good people. Good people. How bad were those early shows, Carm?
They were terrible, and I don't remember if I texted Spiegs or didn't, and I felt the need at the time, like, you're going to like him. It will happen. It's just not going to be tomorrow. It'll at some point, trust me, you'll realize he's a good dude. It's just going to take a second, but it was really awkward. But I did know that eventually they're going to get there. They'll get there. It'll happen.
Now Speaks and I are genuinely good friends.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's something, man. I don't know why I can't just make it easier on people. I should talk to a therapist about that. We had Dave Wanstead at 5 o'clock. You could share your take on that if you want coming up on the score.
You know what I mean?
Yes, you can play Wani along with us. Dave Wanstead Bingo coming up at 5 o'clock. It's the Danny Parkin Show with Mark Carmen in. Man, Carmen, listen, you know me. I love me some me. But you have 3 days on the score, and one of your 3 days is my birthday, and they book my brother, my mom, my wife, my old producer, my old friends. I mean, like, I am sorry, my friend. This has got to be embarrassing for you.
And also, how about Nick Wright?
Jesus.
Yeah, so I thought it was appropriate, since we're having all these guests for Danny. You just mentioned Danny's brother, Danny's mom, Danny's friends, that we would book Mark's former landlord, me. Hi.
What's up, Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1 fame? How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Can you believe that Mark Carmen and me are hosting a radio show together? He used to be your executive producer. This is a weird full circle moment.
You know, I was thinking, because I was listening to the show, and I was thinking about you and Carm doing radio together. And I was thinking about when all three of us were back in Kansas City. And it reminded me, does your audience know that once upon a time you thought you were going to be the Woodward or Bernstein of local sports radio? Like, you thought you were a Big J journalist and you were willing to even risk your career for it? Do they know that?
Do I know what you're talking about?
Well, I'm sure Carm does. It was shortly after I left Kansas City. Danny had been skyrocketing up the hierarchy at the radio station there, much as he has at the Score. He'd been shortly thereafter promoted to Afternoon Drive. And I think within weeks of being promoted to Afternoon Drive, he interrogated the owner of the local baseball team on the flagship station of the local baseball team, risking his entire career for reasons that I still don't totally understand. That is the type of Big J journalist Danny Parkins is. And that is what has reached him to these heights.
Yeah, I've told the David Glass story before. That was when I don't know why I did that either. I thought you had to get to the bottom of
whether or not the Royals were going to extend Mark Grudzielanek, and America needed to know.
It was that, but it was worse because I was like, are you willing to operate at a loss to field a contender? And if not, why don't you sell the team?
And, yeah, oh you, boy, you dared he... him to sell the team, literally at his ballpark.
No, at the fan convention.
It was the fan convention when the Royals were hosting the All-Star game.
That's exactly what it was. It was Fan Fest. Danny's like, this is the time I'm going to get down to it. Like, Leslie Stahl's interview with Donald Trump has nothing on Parkins interrogating David Glass. And then calling me, like, 4 hours later, really indignant that he might actually be in trouble. And I'm like, yeah, I think you're going to be in trouble. That's the old Ron Artest, Steven Jackson thing when they go into the locker room after beating up fans. And Ron says to Steven, do you think we're in trouble? And Steven's like, we might get arrested. Danny's like, do you think I'm going to get suspended? I'm like, suspended? To quote a wise man, you may never work in that town again. But you weathered the storm. So props to you.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a miracle. I don't really know how it happened. Good Lord. Nick, Bears fans are flooding our text line right now, thanking you for predicting the Bears. You believed in the Bears more than any member of the Chicago Bears media or fan base, by the way.
I think I believed in the Bears more than any person in the – I think I believed in the Bears more than Matt and or Ryan Pace did. I said 12-4, and I'm going to stick by it. And by the way, Bears fans, so I'm going to describe a football team to you real quick. You've got a quarterback in a clean pocket can do well, but under pressure crumbles. You have a great defense. You have an offensive-minded but flawed head coach. You have great coordinators. You have an underrated number one receiver. You have an aging tight end who once was great but is probably not close to that anymore. Who did I just describe? I described two teams, the Bears, who no one likes, and the Bucks, who everyone likes. Everyone's all high on the Bucks. Oh, Bucks are this high, they're Super Bowl contenders. Why? Didn't the Bears just beat them? Don't they have a better record? Don't they have the same team? I'm really all in on this Bears thing. I don't see how it could possibly go wrong for me.
Yeah, I mean, other than your gambling history, but yeah, they've been a
covering machine this year.
Oh, I meant like your prediction gambling history. Oh. Yeah, no, the Bears have been a covering machine.
Don't bring gambling into this right now, because your audience probably doesn't know that it's thanks to you and you alone that you and I didn't split an $11,000 futures ticket. Remember that one from a few months ago, buddy boy? You
that
convinced
was my
me to
fault.
Buy a futures ticket because it's like, hey, the only two things that we bought it on PropSwap. He was like, the only two things that need to happen are the Lakers win the title, which obviously they were going to, and Clemson win the national championship. Danny's like, Clemson's a lock. It's a lock. This is free money if you really believe in the Lakers. He thought the Clemson part was in. I think Clemson was down like 31-3 in that game.
Yeah, that was the Joe Burrow game. That was a problem. That was on me. And then I had forgotten about it. And then within like moments of LeBron winning the title, it's like, and by the way, we could have just won 11 grand if your team would have taken care of business.
I'm that's a true story.
Yeah,
that's a true story.
Yeah. Carm, do you want to make your case for Jordan as the GOAT to Nick right now? Are you prepared?
Oh, God.
I mean, I can. I'd love to, actually. Do we have time for that right now?
Probably
not. It's a very short case. You just say, like, six rings and then start muttering.
No. Parkle, all right, you're teeing it up. Here we go. First of all, the slow down, Nikki. Michael Jeffrey Jordan was the greatest player in the NBA before he ever got to the NBA in the 84 Olympics.
Oh my God! Bobby Knight quote.
Yeah.
It was
he was just beating NBA teams all over the court. They never lost to any of them when Bird and Isaiah and Magic were playing against
him.
Go
ahead.
He then stepped into the league. It's true, Nick. He wasn't instantly
the
best.
The league. Right, and led him to 30 wins.
Okay, that would be 38 wins, but let's sit back. You're right. He wasn't the best player his first year, I mean, or his first game when he shot 5 of 16 and for 16 points, but he did have 37 in game 3 with 6 steals. He was instantly the best player in the league. His second year, he puts up 63, the most ever scored in a playoff game. Then he becomes the only player in the history of the league to have 200 steals and 100 blocks in a season. Did that twice. By the way, those were in years 3 and 4 when he averaged 37.1 points and 35 points per game on his way to winning the MVP with no one. A rookie, Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant showed up in year 4. They won a playoff series, lost to the Pistons, who, by the way, historically one of the more underrated teams despite winning back-to-back NBA championships. That great defensive team, maybe the second best defensive team ever outside of Jordan's first three-peat Bulls. They devised the Jordan rules with Rodman and Dumars and Isaiah. And Lambert.
We also have a documentary.
Right. Well, we're just trying to. I just don't understand.
It.
There is no.
I got it.
There's
all of those are reasons why, for one point in time, he was the best player ever. But things come to an end.
You're right. Today, he's not the best. Right now, he couldn't step on the court and beat LeBron. You're right.
No, that's not so calm.
Nick.
You're not bathing yourself in glory right now. And I was just calling to really wish Danny happy birthday. We should do the Jordan LeBron debate at a further time when we have more time. And besides, I'm trying to get the Chicagoans on my side with this Bears stuff. You guys are trying to pigeonhole me as the LeBron guy right now. I'm trying to do weekly appearances on the Danny Parkin show. And was part of my Bears prediction a little self-serving? Like, maybe I'll be wrong, but if I'm right, it's triple fold? Possibly. But it's all looking great. Now you're reminding everyone that I'm, you know, the rightest on the Jordan LeBron stuff, and now they're going to be mad at me again. I don't need that. Let's go Blackhawks. Let's go Cubbies. Let's go White Sox.
Nick, thank you for calling, my
Billy
friend.
Donovan. All right, happy birthday, Parko. Love you. Love the family. Can't wait to Carm. I love and I miss you too, and enjoy the day. Talk to you guys soon.
See
Bye.
You, Nikki.
All right, that's Nick Wright from Fox Sports 1. Good Lord. He is the goods. You feel good about that, Carm? You feel good about your argument?
I mean, I was on my way. I thought I was crushing it, and then it got dovetailed, but that's okay. I don't need to tell everybody what everyone seems to know, although some people are forgetting, and it's bothersome, and I'm a little angry with you, Parko, who, when people come on the airwaves and say nice things about LeBron, you just, he's got an argument. No, there is no argument. You have to defend 23 in red and white's honor, and I find it, I'm counting on you and others to step up and do that.
All right, we're making Dave Wanstead wait, which is not something we should be doing. That's next on the score.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.